I went to a play with my couple of my granddaughters were in the play, and their family was there up in Dalton. And my daughter-in-law's parents came, and they were from Michigan, and they came, and we sat with them as a play about chocolate, Willy Wonka. And we sat there, watched that play, and I think daughter-in-law's dad, he loves chocolate. So I was telling him about our chocolate that we have in our school. But they're believers. They love the Lord. And they said to me, one of the first things they said, boy, a whole lot has happened since we last saw one another. And it hasn't been that long. It hasn't been that many weeks. But a whole lot has happened in America. And a whole lot's going on since we've last seen one another. And I thought this morning, you know, I would preach on a subject related to what's going on in our country, America. I have a tie on to that effect. This chapter, as many of you know, Brother Bob preached on it 4th of July, if you were there at our place. And I preached on it numerous times. And I kind of see a providential timeline here. In this 2 Chronicles 20, and it's 2 Chronicles 20 is where we're going to be, and I think about a timeline here providentially related to the fact of 2020, 2021, and, you know, dates and so forth, but I remember that this chapter stuck out to me because in this chapter, you see Judah being attacked. And I feel like America has been under great attack, and consequently the churches that are Bible-believing, Bible-preaching churches, they feel that attack. And we are under opposition. And somebody says, well, don't preach on politics. I'm not really preaching on politics. I'm preaching on prophecy. Because the great enemy of America and of any nation in the world is what the Bible said is the mystery of iniquity. And you say, well, what's the mystery of iniquity? The mystery of iniquity is a one-world government under the beast and his Antichrist, where everybody needs the mark of the beast to buy and sell. Now I've preached on this before for years, but I've never seen it where you can now see it being planned and prepared for, and where it's being pushed. And the issues are so clear. We have an international group of globalists who run our money called the Federal Reserve. It's not federal. It's not federal government. It is international money masters that run it and charge us interest on the money that we print out of thin air and use the money to control. George Soros is buying DAs all over America to pervert justice and judgment. And so we have this globalist enemy, just like Jehoshaphat had the Ammonites and he had the Moabites that were attacking Judah. And the Moabites, that reminds me of a shadow government. There's a shadow government in America that runs things. You didn't elect them. You didn't vote for them. And if they don't like your vote, they have a ways to change your vote. That's another enemy. They had the Ammonites and the Moabites, and then they had the termites. No, they had the... we have the termites. The Edomites. They had the Edomites. And those three enemies were all against God's people. And we feel it, and we feel it now. And, you know, it's like fasten your seatbelts, people have said. We're in an election year in America, and you can feel it. And you can feel they're trying to make the polling look like it's good enough it can be rigged. And it's never been more clear. It's not left and right. It's good and evil that we're dealing with. And that's what I want to talk about this morning. Our former pastor, he used to say, opposition precedes blessing. And I want to preach today on great opposition precedes great blessings. And I want to look at 2 Chronicles 20, and it's a kind of a timeline. And there are 3 points. I want to say, number one, be not afraid or dismayed by your great opposition. Look with me at verse 15 of what it says there in 2 Chronicles chapter 20, verse 15. It says, and he said, that's Jehoshaphat, hearken ye all Judah and ye inhabitants of Jerusalem, and thou King Jehoshaphat. I'm sorry, that's the prophet of God now speaking to Jehoshaphat, Yahaziel. In verse 14, he said, hearken ye all Judah and ye inhabitants of Jerusalem, and thou King Jehoshaphat, thus saith the Lord unto you, be not afraid nor dismayed by reason of this great multitude, for the battle is not yours, but God's. I don't know about you, but I believe America is a unique nation. The nation of Israel was dedicated to God under Solomon, the king of the United Kingdom, and he dedicated the temple to God. Do you know America, when the first president was inaugurated, the capital of America was New York City, and George Washington was inaugurated as president, and they went out to where 9/11 took place, and there they had the dedication, and George Washington dedicated America to God. And I believe Jonathan Cahn's right when he said God was trying to get our attention with what happened on 9/11. Because we were dedicated to God, just like Israel and later Judah. The nation has turned away from the God of the Bible and the God of Israel and the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Our Constitution is written in the year of our Lord. Supreme courts in the past have said that we are a Christian nation. But Barack Obama, when he was elected, he declared officially, we are no longer a Christian nation. He put the rainbow on the White House when a Supreme Court decision recognized homosexual marriage as it is marriage. But God said it's Adam and Eve, not Adam and Steve. He's not changed his standard. And so we see now a great opposition, and the Bible tells us as believers that we're to pray to God that we might have our officials be the kind of officials so that we as God's people can live in peace and in godliness and walk with God and serve God and it not be against the law to serve God. I can see it in a Marxist communist country, but it shouldn't be that way in America. And I want to encourage you, though I see that this election is an election that is do or die for America. This is a time that's do or die for America. And I believe, listen to me, that when Satan takes over America and takes America and makes it a globalist, Marxist country permanently, he's got his beast, one world government. Because America is the one nation that has stood and kept that back. The Bible says the mystery of iniquity doth already work, but he who lets will let until he's taken out of the way. I believe Daniel 12 and Revelation 12, that's clearly the angel Michael, and that he's the prince of Israel, and he is keeping that back. And two key nations are Israel and America in that keeping that back. And you as a believer, you have a responsibility. I am not a political pastor in the sense that I organize precinct captains and try to get the church organized to do elections. We organize in this church bus captains. It's wise for people to deal with precincts and voting and all that and be informed of that. But that's not the mission of the church. We have the Great Commission. I organize bus captains here. But I do preach to God's people that you need to be aware. You need to be in prayer. This is a spiritual warfare. And we're fighting for America. Because if America goes down, it's going to affect the whole world. And so I want to preach on great opposition precedes great blessings and say to you, be not afraid or dismayed by your great opposition. And notice in 2 Chronicles 20, verse 15, he says, "The battle is not yours, but God's," in verse 15. Then 16, "Tomorrow go ye down against them. Behold, they come up by the cliff Ziz, and ye shall find them at the end of the brook before the wilderness of Jeror." And then he says, verse 17, "Ye shall not need to fight in this battle. Set yourselves, stand ye still, and see the salvation of the Lord with you. O Judah and Jerusalem, fear not, nor be dismayed. Tomorrow go out against them, for the Lord will be with you." I'll say the first thing that I see in this is in verse 15, that he says that be not afraid nor dismayed. The battle is really not yours, it's God's. Why should you not be afraid or dismayed with what's going on all around us? I mean, all of these events that are swirling around us. And by the way, people are coming across the southern border, and people in our church are losing their jobs over that. And many things are happening. It has very practical effects. People are losing their lives. They're being killed. Why should you not be afraid? I believe, number one, because the battle is not yours. It's God's. God's got this. I remember when I was thinking about being a pastor and praying about it, I was scared because I saw pastors go through a lot of pain and suffering in their ministries. And I didn't want to have that kind of life where I had to go through pain and suffering. Well, I guess being a Christian, you can't say you're not going to go through pain and suffering. It can happen. Amen. People think we're going to get raptured out of here before there's any persecution. Don't be so sure. You could go through persecution. And by the way, in England right now, if you tweet something, if you post something, if you retweet something that the government in England does not like, they'll pick you up and put you in jail. Australia, New England, New Zealand, and Canada, similar things have been happening through the COVID lockdowns. I am saying it's coming to a country near you. Beloved, this is a warfare, and it's a call to spiritual arms. But it's also a call not to be afraid, because it says the battle is the Lord's. In other words, if we're going to win against this great opposition, we've got to know that our God is greater than Satan. And I remember when I was worried about being a pastor, God just gave me Joshua 1:9. I was reading my Bible. I was preaching for the pastor while he was away, and the words just jumped off the page. It says, "Have not I commanded thee? Be strong and of good courage. Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest." I remember Brother Hiles said when he was a young preacher, somebody was in the back, naked faces at him. I remember when God called me to preach, he said, "Don't be afraid of their faces. You're preaching for me. You give them my message." And so I learned to realize God's got this. If God's called me, he's got this. And not to be afraid, but to get in the word and to speak what he said. And you know what? One of our greatest enemies is fear. You know, one of the presidents of World War II said, "The only thing we have to fear is what? Fear itself." Two words that are repeated in the Bible over and over again. Fear not. Fear not. God has not given us the spirit of fear. When you fear, you can't love. Fear God. Trust God. And I believe that from this chapter, God has got this, number one. And number two, I believe because God will expose your opposition to you. Notice what it says in verse 16 of 2 Chronicles. It says, "Tomorrow go ye down against them. Behold, they come up by the cliff of Ziz." You know, it's interesting to me. Israel, Judah in this case, saw their opposition from the Ammonites, the Moabites, and the Edomites, and they were coming after them. Do you know when we began to see our opposition in this country? It's in 2016 after Donald Trump was elected. It all came out. Why was it that so many people tried to destroy this man? He's not a perfect man, not a Sunday school teacher. But why try to destroy him? Can I tell you why? First of all, he's been a friend to Israel. And the devil wants Israel destroyed. Because he knows when the Jews get saved, the kingdom of God's coming to earth, and the devil doesn't want that. Number two, didn't like this man because he stood against Hillary, who's, I call her Hillabelle. She stood boldly for abortion, and he said, no, I oppose that. I wanted to go to the States. And he's a nationalist, not a globalist. That's the biggest thing, because Satan wants the global government. He wants the beast, mark of the beast. He's licking his chops, and America's standing in his way. That's why I believe they tried to impeach him a couple times. Why they called him a Russian agent, all a lie. Why they attacked him and have attacked his money, tried to take his money, tried to put him in jail. And when that failed, in my humble opinion, they've tried to take his life. And may try again. You see, it's not about the man. It's about Satan and what he wants. And I'm just saying to you, God's got this, number one. And number two is, he will expose, listen to me, the greatness of your opposition so that you might rely on the greatness of your God. I don't mind it when the Lord shows me the opposition to my message, when the Lord shows me the opposition of my ministry, because then I can know I have to rely on God. And God knows through the years, I've faced a lot in my own life. It's not about me. It's about the ministry that God's called me to. You see? It's not about a man. It's about what God has anointed him to do. And it's being fought. But let me say, God's got this, number one, if you're a believer. And number two, God will expose the opposition to you that you're facing. And the encouraging thing is that God works in you not only to will to do his will, but to do his good will. He not only shows you what he wants to do, but he shows you the opposition, but then he shows you his power to overcome that opposition. And what does he say? He says, because you won't need a shooting war this time. You know what? I believe if Donald Trump would have got shot through the head, it might have led to a shooting war. And he turned his head. You believe God's in this thing? Yeah. And a shooting war right now could lead to martial law, which could lead to total shutdown. The globalists love to shut everything down. They tried to shut this church down back in the COVID era. COVID came out of a lab in Wuhan, China, even though that was denied by the globalists and their shadow government and the deep state. It came out of a lab in Wuhan, China, and I personally believed it was planned. Why? Because the Chinese government stopped all the flights in China so it wouldn't contaminate China. And right away, that was their plan. They knew about this. But they came all over the world, and the thing spread all over the world, and it led to lockdown. Thank God that God led this church that we never locked down. Amen. Never stopped having one service. Thank God for that. I'm just saying, this battle is the Lord's. He says in verse 17, ye shall not need to fight in this battle. They did in other battles. Set yourselves, stand ye still, and see the salvation of the Lord with you. O Judah and Jerusalem, fear not, nor be dismayed. Tomorrow go out against them, for the Lord will be with you. And they never needed to to fight in that battle. And so I want to say that we face some fearful things in this country. Fearful things. And the shadow government, the deep state, they would like to see a civil war. I personally believe there are people that would like to see a World War III in the Ukraine right now, and in Russia. There's warnings this morning about a global nuclear war that could start and erupt because of a nuclear power plant in Russia, where the Ukrainians are now attacking right near that plant. And the head of the IAEA warned about that. Listen, the globalists fear if they lose power, if Donald Trump is elected and they lose power, they fear, and they'd blow the world up rather than lose power. I believe that. You corner a rat and the rat will fight. There's some fearful things. But God said to Jehoshaphat, you tell the people, I've got this. The battle is not mine. Here's your opposition. You see it and we see it and what's going on. But look behind all of this and see Satan and see behind all of this. Revelation 12, the angels of Satan fighting against God's angels. If your eyes could be open right now, you would see a spiritual realm, the angels of God that are here as I preach, watching this church. The Bible says it in Ephesians chapter 3. They're here. In Ephesians chapter 6, there's a spiritual warfare going on. Elisha said, God, open the eyes of my servant that he might see it. Because, you see, the whole Syrian army wanted to take Elijah and put him in jail. Do you know this pastor that preaching this Bible that devil would want to put me in jail? It's only because God has a hedge around me that he hasn't been able to. He wants to put you in jail. Just like in England, like they're doing in England. I'm just saying, great opposition precedes great blessing. Be not afraid, God says, or dismayed by your great opposition. Have on the armor of God, beloved. Stand with the sword of the Spirit, the helmet of the hope of salvation, the breastplate of righteousness. Have on the armor of God. Do you have your armor on today? And then be not afraid. Resist the devil. Stand your ground. All we need for evil to triumph is for good men and women to do nothing. Say nothing. Hear no evil, see no evil, speak no evil. No, that is not our role. We're going to say the truth in Jesus Christ. But saving America won't save your soul from hell. Amen. We need to speak the truth of the gospel. And that's why we want to see America get saved, so we can spread the blessings of the good news of Jesus Christ. But I want to say a second thing, and that is great opposition precedes great blessings. Not only be not afraid or dismayed by your great opposition, but believe God with an unshakable faith for victory over your great opposition. I want you to notice, first of all, you do this by praising the Lord for his ability to defeat any enemy that would come against you. Look at verse 18 and 19 of chapter 20. It says there, Jehoshaphat bowed his head and his face to the ground, and all Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem fell before the Lord, worshiping the Lord. You know what? We need to do that, amen? We need to fall to the ground, put our face to the ground, and acknowledge that God is greater than the devil. God is greater than George Soros and all his money. God is greater than Satan. It's interesting that Elon Musk has turned to fight against George Soros, the richest man in the world. That's God. He's doing that. I'm not saying Elon Musk is a born-again Christian or he's... No, but I'm just saying God is in control. He's in control, and you need to believe God with an unshakable faith for victory over your opposition if you're praying for the United States of America. Notice verse 21, it says, "And when he had consulted with the people, he appointed singers unto the Lord, and that should praise the beauty of his of holiness, as they went out before the army, and to say, Praise the Lord, for his mercy endureth forever." Do you believe that? America doesn't deserve to be saved. We deserve to be judged. But mercy means not giving you what you deserve, but being pitiful toward your situation. And we as God's people in America, the Bible says, "Shall not God avenge his own elect, which cry unto him day and night?" Aren't you crying to God day and night for America? I believe many of you are. If you're not, you need to do that, because God will hear the cries of his people. And we need to, as we cry to him, get right with God and say, "God, if you spare America, I won't do like America has done and take the blessings of God and use them for impurity, for wickedness, for sin, for selfishness, for greed. No, I'm going to use them for you." And then believe God with an unshakable faith for victory over your opposition as you praise God for his power to grant that victory in your life. I want to say also, by your not doubting God in the dark times of this great opposition. Someone has said, "Don't doubt in the dark what you have known to be true in the light." I remember after, in 2020, Donald Trump was up for his second term. He'd been under all kind of attack, as we mentioned, and he was up for the second term. And I personally believe that the election was stolen in the key swing states. And you remember when they shut things down in Georgia, they said they had a water leak, which never occurred. They started bringing all the ballots out, and other ballots they found that came in from New Jersey and Michigan. And all of these things happened. You say, why does that happen? Satan is a thief. He comes to steal and to kill with abortion and to destroy. Do you know that the vice presidential choice, Walls for Harris, he was for putting tampons in boys' bathrooms. He's for cutting off young minor girls' breasts and young minor boys' anatomy so that they could become girls and girls' boys. You know that he was for, in Minnesota, the burning down of things. His wife said, "I love the smell of burning rubber when the tires were burning." He's a Marxist, a globalist. It's not Democrat, Republican. It's good versus evil. It's God versus Satan for America. That's where we are now. And where will we be? What will we do in the light of that? Well, you need to have faith in God, and the Bible says when you have that faith in God, don't doubt, but trust him. When God encourages you with something from his word, take that to the bank and trust God. And I remember we prayed and fasted after 2020 for that steel to be undone and for God to put Donald Trump back in the White House. But you know what? It came to a point where I said, we can stop praying and fasting. We can praise God. He's heard our prayer. Remember that, Brother Bob? Said, just, you can stop praying and fasting. God's heard our prayer. And I remember different ones would come to me and they would try to say, this is how God's going to do it, and that's how God's going to do it, and he's going to use this political means. And I said, no, that's above my pay grade. I don't know how God's going to do it, but I know God's going to do it. My faith is in God. It's not in politics. My faith is in God. It's not in political parties or in any man. My faith is in Almighty God so that we can serve God in peaceable lives and get the gospel out. And I know that the end times are coming. And I know the Laodicean church era is coming, but just not right here, just not in this place. I'm just saying to you that there is great opposition, but it precedes blessing in God's economy. So don't be afraid or dismayed by this great opposition, and believe your God with an unshakable faith for victory over that great opposition. And I remember while we were having those prayer meetings and we prayed on Mondays, and I remember Brother Andy was here and he shared a verse, and I thought about that verse, and it's in Mark 11, 22 and 23. Here's what it says. Have faith in God. For verily I say unto you, that whosoever shall say to that mountain, be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. And I said, I believe God has heard us. Now, I didn't know that Donald Trump would win the Republican nomination again. I didn't know he'd be running again. I didn't know it would take 4 years. But I'm just saying to you, I never stopped trusting God for America and for his deliverance, and never stopped praying for that, because great opposition precedes great blessing. And I was not going to be afraid or dismayed, and I was believing God with an unshakable faith and saying, let this mountain be cast into the sea. Even when I couldn't humanly see how, I knew God could do it and would do it. And I want to encourage you to join with me to be not afraid and to have that unshakable faith and storm the throne of grace. I want to say one more thing, and that is great opposition precedes great blessings. Benefit by your God causing your opposition to be divided against itself. Look what it says in verse 22, chapter 20. I'll read it. It says, and when they began to sing and to praise the Lord. When they began to sing and to praise, comma, the Lord set ambushments against the children of Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir, which were come against Judah, and they were smitten. For the children of Ammon and Moab stood up against the inhabitants of Mount Seir, utterly to slay and to destroy them. And when they had made an end of the inhabitants of Seir, everyone helped to destroy another. I'm saying, here you have Judah opposed by enemies greater than themselves, and yet those enemies fought, two of them against one, and then the two fought one another until they had killed one another off, and Judah never needed to fight at all. I'm saying you can benefit by God causing a house to be divided against itself. Didn't Jesus say a house divided against itself cannot stand? Now, it looked for a moment that the demon rat party was being divided over Joe Biden. You notice how that stopped right away? Satan knows that scripture, doesn't he? And now there's this uniting going on. You know how that goes? You see, I'm not putting my trust in the winds of politics and what's going on. I'm putting my trust in God. And I'm asking God to divide these people against themselves. And I want to share with you the definition from Webster's 1828 dictionary. It says ambushments, that the Lord set ambushments against the enemies of Judah. He set them in verse 22. And notice what ambushments are. It says here that ambushments are to lie in wait for, to surprise by assailing unexpectedly from a concealed place. Now, you say, how is God going to deliver? How is he hiding ambushments? Do you know God hides ambushments so that we can't see them until they come out? That's what an ambushment is. You get ambushed. You ever been ambushed before by somebody? They scared you? We used to have some of our students would try to ambush some of the teachers and scare them, you know. But God's got the ambushments. And he had them for Judah to deliver Judah. And he's got the ambushments. And I go to a book that you never see the name of God mentioned. You never hear about praying to God in the book specifically. You don't hear about it, but you see the hand of God all over the book. You see the hidden providence of God, and you see the ambushments of God. And it's a book many of us have been reading. It's called the Book of Esther. And I remember when all this has been going on, I went to see a play down at the Millennial Theater on Esther and encouraged me. And you see the ambushments of God. And you see also the moving of the enemy, the opposition. And in the book of Esther, who was the opposition against the Jewish people? It was a man named Haman. You always have that enemy of the Jewish people. Remember Saul of Tarsus? He was trying to kill born-again Jews. And what did God do to him? Amen. He saved him and made him the greatest missionary. Hitler, God had him killed. Haman, he was so powerful and he had a lot of money and he was an Agagite, so that he was a wicked ancient hater of the Jews and his people hated the Jews. And this man, he gave a lot of money to the king of Persia and bought favor with the king of Persia, had a lot of riches, you know. And so the king of Persia elevated him and gave him a high position next unto the king. He was very much trusted. And he used that position to apple polish the king and say, "Oh, king, you know, there's these people. They're diverse from you. They don't have laws like your people have. And they're wicked people. And they need to be destroyed because they'll ruin your empire." And he said, "I want to fund the destruction of them. I want to have a law signed and I'll fund it. I'll pay for it." And the king goes, "Okay." And the 12th month of the year, on the 13th day of the month, everybody will be able to have hunting season for Jews and kill Jews. He didn't say it that way, but that was what it came out to. Wow, it looks like the opposition has got it. He's got the law. He's got everything set. The king is behind it. There's a Jew named Mordecai who's grieving and sad when he hears about this. He's so sad, he's so grieving, and Haman is so happy. But you know what? God had ambushment set. Do you know what his ambushment was? The king had a wife named Vashti who proved to be a very bad woman, and he put her back in her place and replaced her place as the queen of Persia with a girl named Esther. He didn't know Esther was a Jew, but she was a Jew all along. That's an ambushment, Brother Bob. Something else happened. Two men that were his chamberlains, it was an inside job, tried to assassinate the king of Persia, Ahasuerus. They failed because a man, a Jew, stopped them, and his name was Mordecai. And it was chronicled in the records of Persia and of the king there in the palace that had been done. It was chronicled. That was an ambushment. Because it was all set up by God, and it was behind the scenes. God had it planned. Listen to me. The best thing we can do for America is keep doing what we're supposed to be doing. Praying, serving, staying with God's will. Give God a reason to save America. Not permanently, but to push it back for a time so that we can keep on doing what God's called us to do. And God will set up the ambushments. That was what we see here. And that's what we see in the book of Esther. And so here it comes to the point where Haman goes to his wife and he's bragging because such good things have happened to him, and he's exalted. He said to his wife and his friends, he said, you know what? The queen has even made a luncheon, and it's for in honor of the king and me. I'm the only other person invited to the luncheon, and we had this wonderful banquet. He said, the only problem is when I got back from the luncheon, and the queen was treating me nice, and the king, he said, I was coming back, and this Jew, Mordecai, wouldn't bow down to me. Every other person bows down to me and honors me, but he will not bow down to me. And he said, I'm so angry at him. His wife said, no problem. You've got favor with the king. You already have a law to kill all the Jews. Just let's make a gallows for him, really high gallows, and you go to the king tomorrow morning before the banquet, because you're not going to enjoy it, because she called a second banquet for him. You're not going to enjoy this second banquet unless you deal with this Mordecai problem. It's bothering you, husband. Reminds me of Jezebel with Ahab. You know, it's bothering you. Let's kill Nadab. But anyway, Nabal, I'm sorry. Anyway, she goes, he's bothering you. You go in the morning, and you tell him that you want Mordecai hung from that gallows, and he'll give you the right to do it. So he goes whistling on his way, and he's going there. Little did he know there's another ambushment set by God. You know what the ambushment was? Insomnia. The king didn't sleep that night. The king was reading in the Chronicles, and he sees this assassination attempt, and he's like, I'm awake, I'm reading all this. Oh, has this man, this Jew, Mordecai, has he ever been awarded for what he did? And no, he was told no, he's never been rewarded. He said, well, we got to reward this guy. Well, here it is, the morning now, he hasn't slept all night. Haman comes in to get Mordecai hung. He's coming in, and he comes right into the king. And what does the king say? The king goes, hey, Haman, what should be done for the man the king wants to honor? And Haman's thinking, oh, it's got to be me. The queen's honoring me. I am the guy. He said, oh, you get a horse, put him on the horse, dress him up in royal apparel, have a guy go before him and pronounce, this is what shall be done that the king wants to honor. Bring him all through the city. He said, that's great, Haman. He said, you do that for Mordecai. When he went back and told his wife after it was done, and his wise men, his counselors, they said, if you're starting to fall before the Jew, you're going to fall further. By the way, that's why America is wise to bless Israel. Yep. These people that are pandering for votes to the Palestinians that want to hate Israel, there's no Palestinian state is not in God's economy. That's from the river of Egypt, the river all the way to the Euphrates. That is the promised land. It's the Israelites' country. I'm just saying that we need to see there's going to be opposition to God's plan, but you can benefit by your God causing that opposition to be divided against itself, and by your God setting up ambushments that might help with that opposition. And I couldn't help but think how that the enemy and the opposition, they stood down that day. And there's more than just negligence there. There's willful negligence there to allow him to be assassinated right before they were going to celebrate his nomination. And right after that shooting in Butler, Pennsylvania, right after that shooting, they had a power outage because my wife and daughter got stopped coming back from Florida on an airplane. And I believe that they plan to shut down. And this is one of the things they want to do, shut down the whole grid, the power grid. And can you imagine how that would have thrown people into a panic? You say, why would they do that? Satan is a control freak. They want a one-world government. They want to control America. They're doing it in the free world. Do you see where we are? And yet, I believe God's got this. I am saying, just like Jehoshaphat said, you can believe that God's got this, that He's in control. Be not afraid or dismayed. The battle is the Lord's. Believe God with an unshakable faith. You can believe that. He'll move mountains. You can believe God if you see who He is and trust His word. And you can benefit by God causing the ambushments to spring upon the enemy and to defeat the enemy. He says, stand still and see it. I believe we're getting very close. Get your popcorn out, because we're going to see God come through. Doesn't God like to come through at the last minute? Look at the Red Sea. What did Moses say? The Israelites were freaking out. Moses said, stand still. See the salvation of the Lord. What'd Jehoshaphat say? They're coming in on us. We don't even have to fight in this battle. Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. These were men of faith who were also men of courage and stood up. May you have faith and may you have courage. And give God a reason to bless you, because it says here, and I want you to see this in closing. Look at verse 25, and I'll finish up here. 25 says, and when Jehoshaphat and his people came to take away the spoil of them, they found among them in abundance both riches with dead bodies and precious jewels, which they stripped off for themselves more than they could carry away. Oh, man. You know what? I believe when these globalists go and are judged, and some of them need to be dead bodies, legally done in tribunals, military-style tribunals. They need to be dead bodies. They really do, for what they've done. They've killed, they've destroyed. They need to be dead bodies. When that happens, America will be able to drill for its own oil, its own natural gas. These people are against that. What are you going to do with it when it happens? I'll tell you what I want to do with it. I want to use it to spread the gospel of Jesus Christ. I want to use it to serve God. I believe the key and why we've been waiting for this is God wants us to have a right attitude toward the spoils of victory that God could give us. You say, do they plan to bring down the dollar? I believe they do. I believe they plan to crush it so they can put in their one world currency. Their CBDC, their central bank digital currency. But you know what? We could be freed from the Federal Reserve, which is not real money anyway. It's just debt. And get back to a money that is a constitutional money. That's what we can pray for. Might we have to go through a time of suffering to get to that? There may be. But I believe the riches will be there if we're willing to put God first and to serve the Lord. May God help you to do that. Let's bow for prayer, every head bowed and every eye closed. We've been talking about God's got this.